It's Friday, and thank goodness. Many of us need a Friday. Emotions are high, tensions are too, in our country after the murder of Charlie Kirk. Even close to home in Harwood, where a battle is brewing over Fargo's efforts to annex the soon-to-be-built data center. And in the medical community nationwide, which is lashing out at President Trump's efforts to put COVID vaccines in the spotlight as well. Good afternoon, my friend. Steve Ahlstrom here. Thanks for being here. It's been good to be together this week. No question about that. But I think we all need a weekend, don't we? Maybe a little football, maybe a steak on the grill, a long walk, a few holes of golf, probably a good Sunday in church. I think all of it will be medicine for the soul. Lots of news today, especially coming out of Orem, Utah. And we will continue to digest those details where a suspect is now in custody. Officials say we've got the guy. There are no other people of interest, and the person who turned him in is almost hard to fathom. Wow. Addison doing double duty today, so he's at the other end of the hall today, so I get to push all the buttons, which means I get to play the bump music too, which isn't all bad. So if we have a couple of little stops and starts, technically, it's not your radio, it's not your mobile app, it's not your smart speaker, it's me, probably pushing the wrong button. Here we go. So we'll see how that goes today. I have a commentary for you today. I've been able to sort of get my head around why Charlie Kirk's death has hit me so hard. I've got four reasons that if I add them all up, yeah, it does make sense why it's hit me almost as if a family member has died. I've told you Wednesday and then yesterday as well that I continue to just have these moments of not any more overwhelming grief, but just moments of sadness hit me very hard. Yesterday was extremely hard. Wednesday was a mess. I have no idea how I held it together on the radio as long as I did. I think, like Scott said, you tend to compartmentalize some things and you just know I've got a job to do and I need to lead a lot of other people or help a lot of other people through figuring out what happened and what to make of it all too. And so when you got a job to do, you just suck it up and go. And that was kind of the story on Wednesday. Yesterday was almost harder because at that point we were all kind of in the same boat and we still didn't really know who the killer was. We had some pictures. Well, now apparently we know. So we'll get into that today here on the program. I'm going to do the show kind of like yesterday. I'll give you a few headlines at the top of the hour, top five at five, five consequential stories, but I really do want to give us time to come together here, probably for the last time in the way we've done it this week, but I'm still sorting out a few things, and I think we all are. And now that we have news of who the killer is and the story behind the killer, and wow, is this weird. It looks like the first picture I saw of this kid, 22 years of age, he looks like he's ready to go to a Boy Scout meeting. Standing in a dorm room, kind of an aw shucks, little freshman kid, wet behind the ears, innocent little boy. And he's the guy? But apparently things have happened to this man in the last few years. Completely radicalized. And I guess I'm glad that he was captured alive. And so we can maybe start to figure out what happened to him. And maybe we can figure out how we prevent it from happening to somebody else. I don't know if that's even possible, but I'm still hopeful. I thought the governor of Utah, again, was phenomenal today. I'd never even heard of Spencer Cox before this whole thing happened. And now I'm thinking, this guy is speaking for all of us. And I'm not saying that he should be the next president, but boy, the way this guy is genuine and authentic and transparent, yet able to cobble words together in the midst of extreme emotion, which you can tell he's genuinely feeling, is really remarkable. A man of wisdom, a man of faith, a man who knows how to lead and knows how to pull people along with him. I am really impressed by this guy. And he said today, am I optimistic? I don't know. That means we just think things will just automatically get better. But am I hopeful? Yes, I am hopeful because there is a better spirit in all of us than what we're seeing. And there's still a God who's alive and well in this world and pulling things together and doing miracles every day. I thought he was fantastic here. We might play a little bit of that here today on the program before we finish up. So we've got all the details from the arrest today, what we know, what we don't. We'll talk about that. I've got a commentary as well for you today. I wrote up something with kind of my four reasons. I want to walk through that, and maybe I'll be speaking for some of you, maybe partly some of you, maybe not at all. This is my story, but sometimes hearing someone else kind of sort out their emotions, which are really complicated and hard to figure out, can help us do the same. And so maybe there's just a little bit of grain of that that can help one person who's trying to figure out how to look forward to a weekend and be joyful about a weekend when there's still so much sadness and so much loss. So we got that today and a bunch of stories as well. So let's get to the 4 o'clock wrap here. And again, 271-1100 is our phone number. Since I am doing the program, pushing the buttons and answering the calls, I'm not going to be able to ask or to know, like Addison would, what's your name and where you're calling from. So I'm going to say, good afternoon, my friend. Thank you for calling the program. What's your name, where you're calling from? And we'll do it that way. But I would like to just hear from you. What do you have to say about what has happened today? What do you think needs to be said now that we know who the murderer is? And what things are you still curious about that don't make sense to you? 271-1100. But let's do the 4 o'clock wrap here. And we're going to run through our stories as quickly as we can to allow us a chance to visit here as we've done this past week here on the show. First of all, I'm going to start with a local story here. This one is really interesting to me. The mayor of Harwood is saying that the city of Fargo has no right to annex city land. Fargo leaders say, yes, this new AI data center location, we can basically do a land grab and take that land into Fargo city land, which to me was like, what is this, Russia? We talk all the time here on this show about eminent domain, just going out and taking land. And apparently this is something that Fargo feels it has got a legal right to do. And I guess if they do, they do. But it sounds like Harwood feels like we've got a legal right to protect it and keep this land as well. So the Forum has this story today. They did a good write-up on this. It's a $3 billion project that's going in up there. And the Harwood mayor, Blake Hankey, says the city's prepared for a legal fight. He says, we don't feel Fargo has any right to annex our land. That would be like us going to annex Hector Airport. So, touche. Mike Rudlinger, the city manager in Fargo, the city administrator, says, hey, it's a law. We can do this, and it's what we're doing. So apparently state law allows cities like Fargo to extend jurisdiction 2 miles from city limits. Smaller cities like Harwood have a 1 mile boundary. And I guess this is kind of one of those Venn diagrams. It's kind of right in the middle there. So a legal fight brewing there, something that I think I want to dig into next week. It just doesn't make sense that Fargo would be able to do that. So we'll continue to dive into that story as the days go on. The big story nationwide, of course, is the Charlie Kirk assassination. Friday morning, officials announced that they did have a person in custody identified as 22-year-old Tyler Robinson, who resides in southern Utah, had been living with his family recently. He was arrested on charges of aggravated murder and some other charges as well. Formal charges will come in on Tuesday, and so that's going to be happening here fairly soon. So just kind of know that that's the story there with that. So what else can I tell you about this? He is not a student at Utah Valley, where the attack took place, had been living with his family. We found out today that his father is a law enforcement veteran, and some combination of the father and a clergy member, a pastor or the minister, sort of teamed up on this to go to the police and say, hey, we know who did this, and brought him in. Can you imagine that, father? He was taken into custody at 10 o'clock local time Thursday night, but some people are saying it actually might have been the early hours of Friday where that happened. So that was last night early in the morning. The father recognized his son as a subject of the photos that were released by law enforcement and urged him to turn himself in. Robinson admitted that he was the guy who did that. And a youth pastor was brought in to try to calm Robinson down, and then together they approached law enforcement on this one. So we don't know yet a motive, no idea why, although people in the family say he had become increasingly political in recent years and had lashed out at Charlie Kirk. And so there's some videos running around on social media seeming to indicate that he was at a previous Charlie Kirk rally and was asking questions and being very confrontational, and Charlie kind of shot him down. And that might have been part of the reason he wanted some revenge. But there's been no official clarification that I have seen saying that this was the guy. So they recovered gun and bullet casings as well from what happened here today. And the fired gun casing had an inscription on it that said, "Notices, bulges, OWO, what's this?" Which sounds like Greek to me. But apparently it's part of an internet meme that was circulating about 5 years ago tied to animated videos, video games, and furries. Kids who, you've heard this term, right? Kids who want to identify as animals and not people. So don't know if this kid suffered from the I want to be a cat kind of a thing, but obviously a little bit in, unstable there. The other three unspent casings that were recovered at the scene had inscriptions on them. I guess you can like etch it in with a sharp instrument. Bella Ciao, which is an Italian song dedicated to resistance fighters, a rallying cry for anti-fascists. That, according to USA Today. Another one says, if you read this, you're gay. LMAO, laughing my rear off. And then the one that makes my blood boil, hey, fascist, catch. Get it? A bullet? Hey, catch this. Followed by an Antifa symbol on it as well. Now, again, I think we've learned that you just have to wait for these things to be confirmed and that these are really true, but this is what's being reported. And I think authorities have confirmed those things. And if that's the case and he had etchings like this on these bullet casings, obviously highly unstable, highly dangerous. Maybe someone struggling with identity, sexual identity, fascism, and this word fascist. I don't even know if I ever knew what the word fascist meant, but it's one that they use on the left, and it's part of the echo chamber that is absolutely reared its head on these things. So that's what we know. There's some other details, too, but those are the main ones there that we know about what has happened today. Also in the news today, Kevin Cramer told Scott Hennin on What's on Your Mind this morning that there are talks underway to formalize a security plan for senators and congressmen and women paid for by the federal government. And each member of Congress would apparently get up to six officers that would be rotated on a regular basis. But Cramer says, I'm a little uncomfortable with that because we want to be accessible to people. And I don't want three security officers, quote, following me around on my lawnmower. At the same time, he said Charlie Kirk's death is something that's going to take a long time for us all to process. Bismarck Tribune reports that New Song Church in Bismarck is hosting a public event honoring Charlie Kirk on Sunday. So there's a few of these, I guess, that are going to be happening. I saw one in Williston as well. I'm not aware of anything happening here in Fargo. We did the vigil Wednesday night. Is it possible that something else could happen? Possibly, but as of right now, I'm not aware of anything happening in Fargo coming up this weekend, but there are some things going on. President Trump has granted a disaster declaration for severe storms in North Dakota earlier this summer. This is the one that did the damage to grain bins, homes, private property there. It will provide some federal assistance for North Dakota recovery efforts. CNBC reports that Ram, so the Dodge Ram people, you know, are canceling their plans for an all-electric pickup truck. So they are no longer developing their full-size Ram 1500 pickup truck. The pickup truck industry in particular has been dealing with very low consumer interest in electric vehicles. The Forum reports today that NDSU will get its richest payday ever for a football game, as NDSU in 2027 is going to get $1.25 million for going to Las Vegas to take on Montana State. And that'll be played over Labor Day weekend at Allegiant Stadium where the Raiders play. And that'll be in 2027, the fall of 2027. And Moorhead native Max Cullen has announced his commitment to Minnesota Duluth. He'll play hockey there. He's going to be a junior next season at Moorhead. This is Mark Cullen's son. So a congratulations to Cullen. Two of the Cullen boys, Matt's boy, is going to go play at Minnesota, and Max is going to go to Minnesota Duluth. All right, Tom, hang on. Tom is first up. Phone lines are open, and the rest of the hour, phone lines are open for you. And I'll take phone calls until there's a little break in the action. Then I'll give you a commentary as I've kind of sorted out some things in my own heart this afternoon. But would definitely be very much interested in hearing your thoughts today and what you are trying to process and how you are breaking it all down here on this Friday afternoon. Steve Halsham Show continues right after this. Some details came forward to, I don't know if closure is the right word, but it just made things feel a little bit more calm knowing that somebody was in custody and they believe that they have found the right person. And a 22-year-old kid who looks like he's maybe 15, but had, according to family members, had just become very politically interested and had become more emotional about it, had lashed out at Charlie Kirk and told people, hey, Charlie Kirk's coming. And family members obviously didn't realize what he was intending to do about that. Certainly there will be a trial and all that, but the father who turned him in basically said, yep, this is your guy. This is my son, and he did it. And President Trump and so many of us have, and Spencer Cox, the governor of Utah, said, hey, we have the death penalty here. Had to have been the hardest thing that dad ever did was turn in his son. And his dad, a 27-year veteran of law enforcement, saw him in pictures today and got a big flag on his shirt and took his kids out shooting guns early. Looks like it could be any one of our families. You just never know what's going to happen with your kids, I guess. All right, phone lines open, 701-271-1100. That's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Would love to hear your thoughts today. What's going through your mind now that you know that there's somebody in custody? What are you thinking about, and what's kind of going through your head here right now? We'll start with Tom. Tom, good afternoon. Welcome to the show. All right, Tom, can you hear me? Hello, Tom. Okay, I think Tom must have dropped off. So, okay, well, we'll try something else here later on. 271-1100, sorry, Tom, if you're there, I cannot hear you. Maybe you got your phone on mute or something like that, so holler back, and we'll try to get you on as quick as we can. That opens up a phone line for you, 701-271-1100, 701-271-1100. Let's go back to the phone lines. Tom, maybe a different Tom, is with us here today on the show. Good afternoon, Tom. Okay. I think I've got everything set up the way I'm supposed to here. So, Tom, sorry, brother. There is something shaking here on the phone with you. I cannot hear you. So it's either you or me, and it might very well be me. So hang on here. We'll get to a break. We'll try to troubleshoot that a little bit and see what's shaking. But thanks for giving a call. Make sure you give us a call back, though, because we would love to hear from you today. All right, 4:30. So let's do a news and weather update here for you and get you some of the details about what we're looking for with the weekend forecast. It looks like it's going to be a pretty nice weekend, maybe a little bit of weather to deal with on Sunday. So we'll talk about that here. But first, a check in the newsroom. Looking forward to a weekend. I think a lot of us need it for sure. Glad to be here with you, though, until 6 o'clock tonight. Very curious what you all had to, what you all think, what you have to say after the press conference earlier today, knowing that the shooter is now in custody, and everybody seems to believe that they've got the guy, even the family who says, yep, I hate it, but it's our son, and he's now in custody. Still no real word about motive, but we know a lot of what he's been saying to other people, and it sounds like he just became radicalized against Charlie Kirk and decided to do something sadly about it. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. I think we've got this squared away here. Tom is on with us today here. Tom, good afternoon.
Hey, Steve, just real quick thing, three quick things. Hopefully Addison will pop in after 5 p.m. And the other ones were that we really need to pray for the shooter and his family. We really do. That God will work something in his heart that he want to come clean with everything as to why he did this, and then suicide watch so he doesn't.
I don't know what the protocol is, Tom, once you're in custody on something like that, but I would imagine they're keeping a close watch on him. I think they probably do some kind of psych evaluation when they go in to custody, just to find out, does this seem like someone who's, you know, intent on taking their own life? And whether they seem like that or not, you certainly would think, don't you, that they'd have to watch out for that?
Oh, yes, and make sure there's, you know, bed sheets or a rope around his pants or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because if he thought he was ever a furry, he's already got some mental problems. But pray for his dad, because his dad is in law enforcement, and his mom. I mean, this, I can't imagine what they're going through to turn in your own son. This would be, you know, and the public to leave the family alone.
Yeah, that's a really good point, too. It seems like, I said this earlier, but it seems like that family could be any family who's in the car listening to the flag going to the lake or something that. There are kind of people, and they send their kid off to school, and apparently he only spent one semester at Utah State, so it's not like he spent 4 years getting radicalized at the university, but he had just, I guess, found himself in some bad social media channels and echo chambers and just turned into a freak. But, yeah, I mean, as far as, like, his upbringing, it looked like it was, you know, they went on shot guns and they were faith, family, freedom kind of people. And something happened to the kid, but it's not the first time that's ever happened, right?
No, and it's just so sad. I mean, look at how it's firing up all the people that want to take up what, you know, Charlie is gone, but so many people want to take up the fallen flag and keep on going. Anyway, thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate you giving a call. Have a good day. That opens up a phone line for you at 701-271-1100. What do you have to say about what we've learned today? What surprises you about this kid or this family? What do you really want to know that you don't? Or do you know everything that you need to know? It's so hard, isn't it, to not just go by what you see being reported? There's so many quote-unquote news organizations or so many bloggers or posters or social media people out there who say, I just talked to Donald Trump and he, whatever, and it looks like it's legitimate. There's some accounts out there called, you know, leading news or whatever, and it looks like a headline. And you see those things, and you got to continually be on guard because we really don't know what happened here. We really don't know many of the details. All we're really learning is what's come out. I'll say that I don't know about you, but I find myself really disappointed in Fox News on their reporting on breaking news. I get a better report, and I kind of feel dirty doing this, but if I go to CBS or CNN, they at least will give you the information. They might kind of lead into it with some weird stuff, but at least what authorities are reporting, you can figure out. I don't know. I just never find that Fox News has got the best reporting. They have all these opinion pieces, of course, because that's what they do, but as far as a reporting agency, I think they've got a little bit of ways to go there. But you just have to be on guard about things. How many times have you heard, oh, it's going to be something? And I had so many people say, well, you know, it's a transgender. I mean, guarantee that it is. Well, then you kind of bring that into your viewing of these things. And you're like, wait a minute, we don't know that. And at this point, it doesn't sound like this is a trans kid at all. And now the furries and the gay references, I don't know if that means anything about anything. It could be that he just was trying to mess with people and try to stir up more controversy. We really don't know. But I guess at the end of the day, it's still a 31-year-old dead because of the actions of a 22-year-old. And they're going to be filing formal charges in this case coming up next week. The president was on Fox and Friends earlier today, and he was the first one to really report that someone had been taken into custody. And that at the time was breaking news, and we're like, okay, well, do they really have the guy right now? The question I have, the biggest question I have, and let me know if you've seen anything on this that might help, 271-1100. There's video of this kid jumping off of the roof of the building, this Losee Center at Utah Valley University. And he jumps, it looks like 10, 15 feet down to the ground, and it's a pretty, hard landing. And we later saw him limping a little bit. At the beginning, he kind of ran off, but maybe, you know, suffered a little injury once the adrenaline kind of wore off that it started hitting him. But I'm like, where's the gun? Because apparently they find the gun out in a wooded area, and they feel like they've got the gun, a bolt-action rifle. Looks like a typical hunting rifle. And so the gun's, but I'm like, where's the gun? Did he throw the gun off of the top of the roof and then get down? That part of it doesn't make sense to me. That's the one part of the reporting that I still don't know that I've got my a good handle on. So if you've got any kind of you got any kind of opinion on that, or if you've seen any reporting, let me know. You can also, in addition to calling today, you can email us 701-271-1100. Excuse me, that's the phone number. You can email studio at flagfamily.com. Text line is 201-237-1590. 701-237-1590. And we'll get to text messages and emails as we can. From the email, Ben, Steve, I told you the death of other young people too young to die hit me hard when I was in Iraq and Afghanistan. This is Dan, a regular emailer to the show. I knew it at the time because they were my children's age and had so much to offer and died serving others. So was Charlie Kirk, and so did he, with the added twist that he has children the age of my grandkids. I got through the loss of loved ones easier because I had such good memories to share with family that I also grieved with. While grieving with a conservative nation over the loss of Charlie Kirk and listening to many talk through it, I did it alone with millions of people. It's not the same as laughing about the time mom broke a broom over your butt and you laughed until she said, wait till your father gets home, and how you nearly threw up at the thought and that made your grieving father laugh. Yeah, good stuff there. Thanks, Dan, for sending that one in here today. Emailer Ryan sent me a good summary of some Bible verses here that he said I think is important, understanding who Charlie Kirk was and who he tried to be. And it's too long to go into, but I just want to say thanks, Ryan, because I think he's probably listening. Ryan, I appreciate you sending that in today. For me, those scripture verses certainly help. 271-1100, if you want to give a call in. I'm just asking today, we're continuing this process of getting through all this, wondering what your thoughts are today. What questions are still unanswered in your mind, or what comments you think need to be offered today at a time like this? From the text line, Steve, Utah Governor Cox called for political civility. Steve Bannon just said on his program he won't be sitting down for barbecue with Democrats. He calls for going on the offensive. Yeah, so this is my question. I think a lot of us are angry. I'm still not really there yet. I'm still so sad about this whole thing. But I'm going to be there for sure, and it won't take long, and you want to get even. I think it's human. If you're a competitor, you're a red-blooded American male, you know, you punch me, I want to slug back. I do, and I do. The question that I would have is this, and I asked the other day, and I didn't really have anybody that had an answer for it other than saying, well, fighting back isn't in the way we typically think of fighting back isn't the way to do it. But the question is, who do you go after, and how do you do it? I think that's what I'm trying to figure out. I don't know how you fight back. I don't know who you're going after. I'm all for fighting back. Do not get me wrong. But if you don't know who you're going after, then the person you're going after, if you do, is the wrong person, right? So what do we do with all this? 271-1100 if you got a theory on that. Let's go back to the phone lines. Good afternoon, my friend. Thank you for calling. Tell me your name and where you're calling from, please.
Hey, Dan Fargo.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah, I think we got to keep in mind how in depth this planning was to kill Charlie Kirk, and how in depth. We just got to keep that in mind, and maybe what he was looking into, and what parties were maybe helping, like amp this up.
Yep. Yeah. No, that's good stuff, Dan. I mean, you're right. We've got to try to figure out where we go with all that. So. Good thoughts and good comments on that. I appreciate you giving a call in today. 701-271-1100. We've got to try to get to figure all this out here some way, somehow. So we appreciate the thought, Dan. Thank you for giving a call. All right, that opens up a phone line for you, 701-271-1100. Let's go back to the phone line. Good afternoon, my friend. Give me your name, where you're calling from, please.
Ammon. I'm from Lake Park, Minnesota.
Yes, sir.
I think the best revenge is, and I think Trump mentioned this morning, for the voters to vote appropriately in the next coming election cycle. I think that would honor Charlie Kirk's legacy more than anything else, to have a resounding conservative victory in all parts of the country.
I love that. It's a great thought for sure. And I think that is how you fight back, isn't it? Sir, I'm sorry, your name was Ammon?
Ammon, correct.
Ammon. Thanks for, I love that name. Tell me the origin of that name. Is that an ethnic name or just something from your family, Ammon? I love that name.
It's a German Mennonite.
Okay.
Background.
All right. Wonderful. Well, I think you're right, Ammon. The way you make a statement is figuring out how to win and not just making it be a temporary burst of anger, right?
Yes. I mean, I'm as angry as any conservative is over this, and disgusted with what our country has come to. But the only really revenge that would be satisfying would be to have a resounding Republican victory, not Republican, conservative victory.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of the Rhino Republicans.
Well, I think we've seen how, I mean, it just what a waste, right? You have this opportunity, especially, I think, in Congress, and how many of these people go there. It's like, why are you there? The Murkowskis and the Collinses and the Mitt Romneys. Like, why are you there? You're not for a traditional conservative America, so why are you there? Don't you feel that way sometimes?
I do. Far too often.
Yeah, and
it baffles me how they can, on a campaign trail, can be so positive and conservative, and I'll work for this, and they get there, and I guess it's probably, the fundraising and the fact of another election coming up. They've got to raise funds, and in order to raise funds, you got to please a big pack of donors.
Yeah, I know. I would like to think in a lot of those places, though, let's take, Kevin Cramer. And I'm not saying Kevin's good, bad, otherwise. I'm just saying your typical Kevin Cramer is going to win no matter how much money he has, right? So it's not like you have to fundraise a ton to be able to get enough money to run. If you're a Republican in North Dakota, you got a pretty good shot by just being on the ballot. And don't give me, I'm not taking issue with Kevin Cramer at all. I'm just trying to pick out your typical red state, senator or congressman or woman. I don't know. I like Kevin. I like John Hovind. I like Julie a lot. There are times that I have issues with. I think they need to be stronger on the spending side of things. But I don't know overall how you worry if you're those guys too much. If you win the primary, you're basically going to get the job done. Ammon, I appreciate your call. I'm sorry, you want to finish up something else there?
No, just jokingly, I'd say I'd like North Dakota and next Clay County.
Do a next Clay County. Yeah. I think there's a lot of folks just on the other side of the border that would be just fine with being part of North Dakota or South Dakota for that matter. Ammon, you had me laughing and I needed it today. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you calling the show today.
Thank you.
Yep, take care. All right, that opens up a phone line for you at 701-271-1100 here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Since we've got a little bit of a break in the action, let's do this. Let's get our last break of the hour put in there. And then when we come back, let's keep talking about what Ammon is going after there. How do we fight? And what are you willing to do? It's one thing to say, well, we need to whatever, but what are you willing to do? And I think, if anything, this whole week has gotten a lot of people thinking, you know what? I might need to do a little bit more. I'll take it from here, Charlie. You did your part and did it very well. But there's a lot of us who say, my turn, Charlie. Let me take a turn. How do you do that? How do we do that? How do we fight? Maybe that's how we fight. So let's talk about that as we continue when we come back here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. Before we do that, from the text line, though, sheesh, Steve, how about you stop the speculation about the killer and stick to the facts? His political ideology hasn't been confirmed at all, yet you're out here calling him a leftist. Completely irresponsible to use your platform to call him transgender. WTF is wrong with you people. Okay, so here's what I'm going to tell you. I have been trying to be very careful not to do exactly what you're accusing me of. I don't know his political ideology, but it's clear that he had an issue with Charlie Kirk. He wouldn't have shot him. Okay? And when you hear the family saying he had become increasingly politically agitated and lashed out at Charlie Kirk, his family is saying that. So there's a reason he shot Charlie Kirk and not somebody else. And when you've got the family saying he didn't like Charlie Kirk and he was becoming politically, basically radicalized. My words, not theirs, but I think it's safe to say. I don't know how I cannot say that to you and do my job of informing you on what's happening. I didn't call him a leftist. I don't know what his ideology is, but you're pretty darn close, aren't you? I mean, six of one, half dozen of the other. And I didn't call him transgender. I just read the inscriptions on the casings and said, if you're putting stuff on that either, and I said this very, for a reason, I said, it's very possible that he's got to be having some struggles with something. Obviously, he's insane enough to shoot somebody. But you're not putting those things on there if there's not a reason, or your reason is you're trying to stir up trouble and getting people to say, well, it's because of this or that. I said that very specifically. So I hear you, but just try to listen maybe a little more carefully to what I am saying to you. All right, let's go back to the phone line, 701-271-1111. Good afternoon, my friend. Your name and where you're calling from, please.
Bruce from South Dakota.
Hey, Bruce.
Okay, yeah, you were talking about how to get even or...
Yeah, know, how do we fight back?
Really revenge, because yeah. I'm sure Charlie Kirk wouldn't want violence or anything like that. But along the lines of what he was doing is just vote. Get out, vote, take a friend, make that, you know, not make them, but, you know, take them to vote, too. If everyone who thought this is horrible, what happened to Charlie Kirk, goes out and votes the next election, you know, it would send a message that this won't do you any good.
Yeah. Bruce, I like that, and I think you're right. I would say it needs to go a little further than that, though. I think if we're going to honor Charlie, I think we do a little more, because most of us are going to go out and vote anyway. I think maybe there's something else we can do. Maybe just find a way to say something when normally we wouldn't, or strike up a conversation in a place where we normally would stay quiet, or be willing if there's a conversation and, oh, I don't want to get involved or whatever. I read a social media post from a guy yesterday who said, as a business owner, I'm done caring if my clients and customers know what my political beliefs are. I think that's how we honor Charlie. You're right, for sure. And don't get me wrong, we've got to do all that. But I would like to see us think, okay, what else can I do? That's how we make Charlie. Because Charlie was doing things that you and I weren't doing, Bruce. So we need to now do a little bit more on his behalf. That's all I'm saying. But I appreciate your call, and thanks for giving us a shout today. I got to run, my friend, but thank you for calling from South Dakota. I appreciate very much you being with us here today. All right, that's going to do it for the first hour of the program. Addison will be back in after top of the hour and help me juggle things a little bit better. But appreciate you being with me here. Top 5 at 5 coming up next, and then more of your calls as we continue on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Hour number two of the Steve Hallstrom Show on this Friday. I'm getting a lot of email and text activity asking, Steve, do you think they got the real shooter here? A lot of people think that the kid who's been arrested is not the actual shooter. So we'll talk about that here as we go along the program here today. And we've got a lot of ground to cover before we finish up at 6 o'clock. But I want to start by talking about something cool that's coming up. It's always fun when we've got Parade of Homes that's coming up soon. And the fall parade is coming here very shortly. And Tyrone Leslie, president of Heritage Homes, is with us talking about the ranch at Sunset Valley. Hello, Mr. Leslie. How are you?
How are you, sir? So good to talk to you again.
Yes, sir. Last time we visited, you were telling us about these really cool homes you had over at Sunset Valley in West Fargo. And now I understand you're about 95% sold out. It's apparently going pretty well.
Well, just for clarity, the Ranch at the Wilds, which is in West Fargo, is 95% sold out. That was a 77-home development that we did for our active adult buyers, most popular with our active adult buyers. We only have, I think, 5 or 6 remaining homes that are being specced out right now. And then that project is sold out. That we are so humbled by that project, Steve. I can't even explain to you. Such an amazing community, great people. We're just very humbled by it. This new project that we're starting in Sunset Valley is in Horace, and it's going to be a similar project to what we built in West Fargo. Again, active adult community, 56 homes, no basements, all no stairs. It's main floor living, along with potential bonus rooms upstairs, with a clubhouse, pickleball courts, golf simulators, ponds, lit pathways. It is so cool, and the way the development's been designed. But we also, on the south side of the development, the same boutique development, we have our Heritage Homes product going in there with its own amenities, which will have a pool, splash pad, pavilion, fire pits, dog runs, play structures. It is going to be amazing. And not to mention, there's nothing else like it in North Dakota. So we're the only developers that have done something like this, and specials will be under $20,000. So that's unheard of.
Yeah, it is. Yes. Well, yeah. And thank you for clarifying that. So we got a little bit more availability at the ranch at Sunset Valley. So that's great to know. And I think the thing that is really cool about these is it's a place that anybody can be. But if you're 55 and better, as I like to say, since I'm 55 and better, it's really going to be geared toward the lifestyle and community that you're looking for.
It really is. It's, you know, you can lock your door and leave. You know, I mean, if you're a professional, you don't want to be looking after the yard work or the snow and that type of stuff. You can live there and have that peace of mind. And I think that's what really attracts a lot of people to that. But more importantly, you're going to have the amenities to be able to interact with people and have that social ability that it's unlike anywhere else. The clubhouse that we're doing is so stunning, and the beautiful vaulted ceilings, gourmet kitchens, like I said, golf simulators, exercise centers, overlooking a beautiful heated pool with fire pits, overlooking a pond. Like, it's
sounds
pretty phenomenal.
Great.
Not one pickleball court, but 2 pickleball courts, and that's all included. And it's like $290 a month for your association fee.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Care of
what
everything.
A great number.
Everything.
Yeah. Yeah, the Fall Parade of Homes begins September 20th, and you can check it out there. Heritage Homes has been voted best home builder for 12 years. And this year's voting begins coming up pretty soon here as well on the 15th. So if you've had a great experience, vote for them there too. You can find out more at heritagefargo.com, heritagefargo.com. Tyrone, thank you very much for being with me. Have a great weekend, my friend. Thanks for being on the show
today. Likewise. God bless. Bye. You take care.
Yep, you do the same.
Bye-bye.
All right, 5:11, Steve Hallstrom Show. And I'm going to kind of just blow through everything else today and just go phone lines here. I'm getting a few messages from people that say, Steve, I don't think they've got the right guy. Okay, so let's talk about this. I hear you, and it makes sense that you have doubts. And right, I mean, these days we have doubts about everything, right? Because it seems like there are so many times when we think, okay, we know, and then we don't later. And a few of you are just kind of putting two and two together and saying, look, this is the kid. There's video of him jumping off the building. But like I said earlier, there's no gun. And Cheryl emails to say this. Do you honestly believe this kid did it? What did he have, a shotgun folded up and put in his back pocket? He was 22. A person's brain doesn't even fully function until they're 25. He was clearly the scapegoat. I believe the person who actually did this was a mastermind behind it. This was the one on the plane that laughed right after the shooting and then turned off its radar detection. This kid is a scapegoat. That's what globalists do. They always set up somebody to take the fall for him. There's no way he jumped off a 15-foot building holding a shotgun. Well, I said that too, but Cheryl, it's possible that he threw the gun down to the ground. He knew he had one shot. He shot it. So we knew it was empty. I guess it's, look, it's just, I'm saying it's possible that we didn't see that part of it, where he threw the gun down before people picked up the footage and he ran back to get it. Another person says that if you take a look at the video here, you can see that he's got a gun in his pants leg, and that's why he's limping. So, we get that, too. I guess that's possible. Joel said, I would say his limp was going there with his rifle running down upper to lower. I guess maybe that would make it so you're not running very well. I get all of that. So I don't know. What do you think? Do you think that, does this make sense to you? It makes sense to me, and here's why. 271-1100, by the way, is the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. If you've got a theory on this or want to talk about it, here's why all this seems to add up to me and why I don't feel the way Cheryl does. I've got that same question, but here's what gets me to the finish line on this one. And look, I could be wrong. I could be wrong on this one. But the kid basically admitted to his family that he did this. Now, is it possible that he was brainwashed into, I guess. But he said he did it. The parents said, yeah, this kind of sounds like our guy. And they didn't say, wait, you didn't do this. Come on. Like if my son came to me and said, Dad, I did this. I was like, you did not. That's not possible for you. It's not in you. But the family said, okay, let's go down to the pokey, because they obviously felt like it was reasonable. And there was a priest or a youth pastor, some clergy involved in this thing as well. Dad was in law enforcement. So believe me, I get it. You want to wait and say, can this really be true? And I'm with you. I saw the picture of him in the dorm photo. He looks like he's 15, looking like he's going to go to a Boy Scout meeting. Doesn't look like this kid is a radical murderer. But then you look at the mugshot and looks like he's grown up a little bit, in a good way or a bad way. I guess you tell me. But I don't know. It feels like there's enough here where I say I think they got home with the right guy. But I could very well be wrong. They're not looking for anybody else. Authorities and the governor say they do not expect any additional arrests. The only thing we don't know is the motive. I guess we'll try to get that at some point too. I hope. I mean, if he came back home to his parents' house and voluntarily went in, maybe he's willing to say at some point what got into his head, what made him do what he did. We can only hope. All right, 516, Steve Hallstrom Show. When we come back, I wrote a commentary about this titled, I didn't title it anything, but it's about why I am starting to understand why the loss of Charlie has hit me so hard. 24 hours ago, I don't know that I was able to sort through it. But as I've been thinking about it today, I was on a nice long run last night after the show. It's starting to add up why it hit me way harder than I ever expected. And I'll tell you why. I've got four reasons behind it, and I'll do that for you when we come back next on the Steve Hallstrom Show. 520, Steve Hallstrom Show. DJ Coulter, American Family Insurance, wants you to know that the days of turning in small claims are over. You need to be a claims manager of your own account and try to take higher deductibles. They can walk you through it. DJ Coulter, American Family Insurance, 701-235-6641. Anybody out there have a problem with the death penalty here? This might turn into be a hard one, as if it should ever be an easy one. But you probably have a law enforcement dad who's a gun guy, a faith, family, freedom guy who loved Charlie Kirk, and his son shot him dead. And it wouldn't be If it was my son, I might believe in the death penalty, but maybe not for my kid. What if dad comes out and says, look, I know death penalty we have in Utah, but please don't. My son just got messed up. He didn't mean to do this. Oh, boy, that's going to get hard, isn't it, when you got one of us who's saying, I'm going to work with my kid. I'm going to bring him back. We're going to change his ways. He just got brainwashed. Oh, boy, I think it's about to get interesting. Anybody out there have a problem with death penalty here? Curious about that. All right, here's my commentary I wrote this afternoon about this. I think I've started to understand why the loss of Charlie has hit me so immensely hard, way harder than I ever would have thought. I've got four reasons. First of all, practically speaking, Charlie spoke to our young people like nobody ever has. Before Charlie, nobody really even wanted to talk to the kids. They were just kind of a nuisance, got in the way. Kids, they're all liberals anyway. But Charlie loved them. He loved being around them. In many ways, even at age 31, he was a big kid. If you were around him anytime when he was off camera or in between appearances, like we got the chance to get to know him, you realize that. He was a big kid at heart, bouncing off the walls. He was serious and smart, but he was kind of corny, kind of nerdy. And especially among young people, what they love, he was irreverent. He didn't care who he was supposed to bow down to or kowtow with. He would do what he what he thought was the right thing to do or say. He hated the old people as much as they did. And what he created with those young people was a tidal wave. He armed and sparked a brand new movement that will have a lot more staying power than anything that you could have done with us 40 and 50-year-olds. His efforts 100% played a big role in Donald Trump's win, and we still do not realize what Donald Trump's win meant. Yes, we think about it every once in a while, but we've kind of moved on. But remember, we were going to have Kamala Harris for 4 years, doubling down on all the woke stuff, the DEI, the trans stuff, the EVs, cozy with China, open borders, for 4 years. And Charlie helped Donald Trump beat that. And that is an immense part of Charlie Kirk's legacy. Second, spiritually speaking, Charlie Kirk was what so many of us had been praying for and dreaming about. A guy that started from Scripture and built everything else from there. As I've gotten older, I've realized more and more that the only thing that will matter when they put me in the ground is that, was Steve a man of Jesus? Was Steve a man who the Lord would be proud of? Would his family and friends and close people to him be proud? And I am one of those people. I don't know how many of us there are, but I am one of those people that believes if you just ran the world from a biblical viewpoint, just use the Bible as a playbook for how to run the world, it would eliminate so many forms of evil and virtually every problem from this world. The Bible talks about honesty and encouragement, love, responsibility, sharing, relationships, wisdom, solvency, financially. Most people were too scared to bring their faith to the front porch, especially in the blood sport of politics. They wanted to maybe let people know they believed in God, but nobody talked about Jesus and his faith as real as Charlie did. Most of the politicians want to keep that in the basement. But Charlie was not ashamed of Jesus or his faith, no matter how outdated or old-fashioned or irrelevant those ideals seemed to everybody else. He didn't care. Thirdly, I knew Charlie, and while he was total ADD, he was sincere and genuine. And when I talked with him on those few occasions where I got a chance to chat with him one-on-one, he was locked in to the conversation. There wasn't somebody more important in the room. He wasn't talking to you, but looking behind you to see if there was somebody with money behind you. He was involved and invested in the conversation. And he wanted to make sure that when he was talking to you, that you knew that you meant something to him. He wasn't perfect, of course, in any of these areas, but he was one of one. And much like Rush and much like Martin Luther King Jr., there will never be another one like him. Charlie Kirk was anointed by the Holy Spirit, and he was selected and prepared for such a time as this. And the only thing that gives me hope is that God took him home on purpose. Make no mistake, This was not a surprise to God, since he is working all things for his glory. He is therefore saying to us today, I brought Charlie home because I have something better for my people in America than having Charlie Kirk there. And as hard as it is to believe that, there's no other conclusion that we can draw as people of faith, because we know that if you're walking with the Lord, then you're exactly where you are supposed to be every second of every minute of every day. And fourth and finally, why did this hit us so hard? How can we not talk about the fact that he was murdered in front of our eyes and there's video of it all over the place? We did not see the Hortmans murdered in the middle of the night, thank goodness, but we didn't. There were no cameras there. We saw Charlie die in front of our own eyes. Even if you didn't want to see it, you probably did. There's a lot of social media videos out there where you're watching something, all of a sudden here's video of Charlie Kirk taking a bullet to the neck, and it's horribly disturbing. So that, my friends, is my best explanation of why all this has hit me so hard, but it's also why I can still smile today, because I know that God is on the throne. But if I'm honest, as I sit here right now, I'm still fighting back tears a little bit more than I am cracking smiles. 527 Steve Hallstrom Show, that's me. Not saying this to say that you should feel the same or whatever, but sometimes hearing how someone else is processing things that are really complicated helps us kind of get our minds around it, gives us a little peace too. If you got a reaction to that, we'd love to hear from you today, 271-1100. Maybe what would you add to that, or what would you say differently? Why has it hit you as hard as it has? I've heard so many of you on and off the air calling in tears or talking in tears and saying, I don't get it either, but I'm just so incredibly sad about this. Let's go back to the phone lines. Valley Christian Counseling Wellness phone line is still open for business here on this Friday. Crystal is on the line. Crystal, hello. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi, Steve. We were talking a little bit about justice yesterday, and there's been different comments about a punishment of this murderer. And I go back to Oliver Wendell Holmes. There was a biography about him on C-SPAN a while ago, and he had fought in the Civil War. And afterwards, he'd been injured. He went into the legal services, and he's trying to figure out, how do we deal with brother killing brother, and how does our country heal? And he wrote a book called The Common Law, and that's where our justice system has to go. We've got to pick a jury of people who are not prejudiced. And I could say I really haven't followed this. If I lived in Utah, I probably would know more. But all we are right now is the public opinion, and we just have to trust our legal system. Your comment about his father saying, please don't have the death penalty on my son. Well, hopefully he'll testify in the courtroom, and the jury will hear him, and they'll be able to decide what is the best way of punishment. Could be for the rest of his life in jail, could be the death penalty. But we have to trust our legal system, and it's going to take a while. Maybe it might be 6 months from now before they go to court.
Yep.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, Steve? Yeah. So, Crystal, this is hard for me because and thank you for giving a call. I appreciate you chiming in here today. There has to be standards. There has to be justice. And if this crime fits the description, then I think we have to follow what the guidelines say. And whether that's whatever, death penalty, life in jail, whatever. The only thing I'm saying is that it's easy to have standards, and it's easy to say we got criteria, and then you hear a story about somebody, and a dad vouches for him, and it gets hard. It does. But we either have standards and rules or we don't. And maybe there is a chance that this young man can be, quote unquote, rehabilitated. I don't know. That's not what the justice system says. That the justice system metes out punishment based on what you did according to a set of preset rules and standards. And we have to hold to that. That's what I would say to that. Doesn't matter. It doesn't make it easy. And if it's a dad just like one of us, dad, and hey, my kid is... he just got wayward. This is not him or whatever. He still did what he did. We either have rules or we don't. Thanks, Crystal, for chiming in on that. All right, before we hit our news break, let's get Dana in Bismarck. He wants to jump in on this one, too. Hi, Dana.
Hey there, Steve. I just wanted to kind of piggyback on what you were saying about Charlie being all right and set for going to heaven. It's all part of the awakening. God is in charge of everything. And he just proved us that no man knows the hour of the coming. Mm. And it can be as fast as the blink of an eye. So are you ready for that like Charlie was?
Mm. It's a great point. It's a great question. And I said it in my commentary, but somehow, some way, God has put together a plan where he is working for his glory in this country like he always has been. And in his infinite wisdom, he has said, my plan is better with Charlie home with me for this country. Now, that doesn't make any sense to me at all. But you either believe in God or you don't. You either trust or you don't.
That's
and
right.
If I understood God, I wouldn't want to have anything to do with him. Because if
God or Satan.
Well, there
God
you go.
Or Satan, where do you stand?
You got to pick a side. And yeah. So many of us want to form a religion or a faith system based on what makes sense to me. Well, okay, when I was 16 years of age, I had very different ideas than I do today. And so my ideas change over time. I need to know that my God has never changed and never will, and that his wisdom is far beyond mine. And I don't want to follow a God that I understand. I don't. It'd be a lot more convenient, but then I would have no faith whatsoever that that God was worth anything if my intellectual level was at the same level as God. So we'll leave it at that. Dana, thanks for calling today. I appreciate it. Appreciate your thoughts.
Thank
and
you, Steve.
You're right. I like what you're saying. And maybe this is a call for an awakening spiritually. Thank you, Dana. Seth and Grand Forks, hang on. You're first up when we come back on the other side. We got a news and weather break, and then we'll be back with Seth right after this. Dr. Matt Eaton at Dakota Implant and Dakota Implant and Sedation Center has dedicated his professional life to transforming smiles and restoring confidence one patient at a time. When you meet him, you'll feel it. It's not just a job, it's his calling. At Dakota Implant and Sedation Center in Fargo, Dr. Eaton helps everybody, young, seasoned, and everywhere in between. Whether you need a single tooth or a full mouth restoration, he's here to help with skill, compassion, and experience. Whether you've been hiding your smile for years or you're just ready for a fresh start, trust his skill, compassion, and experience. Visit DakotaDentalImplant.com today. From the text line, Kay said, I heard Steve's commentary just now on his personal reflections. It was awesome, in all caps. Could I get a copy of that? Thank you, Kay. Let's see, Kay. I don't exactly know how to do it. If you're a Flag Plus subscriber, it'll go up there later tonight. That's where I put my commentaries. So if you are not a subscriber to Flag Plus, I think you get a lot of cool stuff there. Scott, I, and Jay Thomas had a little little conference today here on site where we kind of talked through it and some of our frustrations and elations and joys and sorrows and all of that. So that'll be there coming up later today as well. So lots of good things at Flag Plus. You can go to AM1100TheFlag.com. And you can click on the button Flag Plus, and you can find out how to subscribe there. It's just $10 a month. You can get a whole year for $100, and we put a lot of good stuff on there. So it will get there, Kay. So if you're interested in that. All right, let's get back to the phone lines here. Seth is on the line, and he wants to chime in. Calling from Grand Forks. So welcome to the program, Seth. What's on your mind today?
Oh, not much. Everybody's talking about gun control now, and we got to meet gun laws and background checks, or register your firearms. I'm sick of hearing that. What needs to be done, and it's kind of blunt and to the point, but be a good deterrent, if we just took and fast-tracked public executions when people get caught red-handed, like that Mangione guy and this guy that was on the public transit that slit that girl's throat, it would be a bit good deterrent, make people think twice before even doing it. I know it's kind of harsh to say, but
Seth, I'm with you. I'm with you. Exactly. What are we going to do? Just keep sitting here saying, well, you know, it's going to happen or whatever. You can try to, and we've talked about this a lot this week, Seth, and you're right. You can put in any, what law were you going to put in that would have prevented this insane kid from finding a gun and shooting Charlie Kirk. You're not going to do it. Every law that they try to pass, there's a point at which that law won't do any more good. You can say we got to do something, but you got to do things that only make sense. You want to start taking away, and just wait, this is just starting, but we're going to hear the assault weapons ban and the AR ban and all of that. They're going to try to take away the guns. And then what are you doing? Then the only people that are going to have guns are the government and the criminals, and the law-abiding citizens are not. And this is the problem. And when you're talking about taking away the semi-automatic rifles, well, then you got to take away the semi-automatic handguns as well, which is what everybody uses for defense and protection, for sporting, target shooting, and all that. So there's just no law that you can put in that's going to stop bad people from doing bad things. There's tens of millions of mentally ill people in our country. I'm sorry, but there are. There are tens of millions of guns in our country. I'm sorry, but they are. That train has left the station, and you cannot fix that. You're never going to get rid of those things. So you better do something different and think critically about what could we really do that might do something to deter that. This 22-year-old kid, had he seen the guy who slit the woman's throat on the subway, had they seen a public execution of him, the 22-year-old kid, he might be messed up, but he might not be messed up enough to say, you know what, maybe I'm going to go get a gun and shoot somebody. It might deter that one guy from doing that one thing. And if you want to try to do something that could actually help, Seth, I'm with you.
Well, absolutely.
I'm with you. Thanks for calling today, my man. I appreciate you checking in.
Thanks. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you do the same. Thanks. Look, I get it. It seems kind of barbaric. I do, but again, if you're telling me we got to try something, well, how about trying something that just might work? There's so many gun laws. Go to Chicago, where they got more gun laws than you can shake a stick at. The campus they were on yesterday in Utah, gun-free zone. Well, it wasn't gun-free, was it? So let's try something else. If you're desperate to try something else, that opens up a phone line for you, 701-271-1100. All right, let's do this. While we're waiting for, I see the phone lines are ringing again there. Steve, rifle ballistics, grass stains on the rifle from throwing it down. He will probably be on death row for 10 to 15 years. Things could change. Yeah, that's the answering the questions about, you know, where did the gun go as he jumped down. Maybe who knows what happened, but I'm just saying it's possible that he threw the gun on the ground somewhere, then he had to get to a lower place so he didn't have the gun, jumped off there, then went around back to get the gun. We just don't know yet. We just don't know. All right, let's go back to the phone line. Steve in Fargo is with us on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Hi, Steve.
Hey, couple of things. I watched that video pretty close, and in his text messages or whatever, he was chatting with some guy on that PlayStation. That wasn't a play, you know, whatever.
Oh yeah.
He mentioned that the gun was wrapped in a towel, and I thought I saw him holding on to a towel or something when he jumped. And if the towel's over the buttstock and all that's out is the barrel, you're not going to see the barrel from a distance. I don't know. He may very well have had the gun in his hand, is what I'm saying. But anyway, that aside, the reason I called, you talk about, you know, public hangings, you know, probably not coming back. There may have been a point for him. Tragically, there were probably people that were hung, you know, and shouldn't have been, because the court systems were probably not as diligent as they should have been, you know, 150 years ago. But we don't have to do that to have impact. How about prayer in schools? That'd be crazy. How about the Ten Commandments, so kids might, you know, understand, you know, that there are ways that you should act, and if you don't, there might be consequences. How about restricting the broadcast license are issued based on providing the public good. Now, this is a very fine line, because we have freedom of speech, but when all of the major newscasts get on and talk about Charlie Kirk or anyone else being a fascist or Hitler or whatever, that is not helpful. How about telling everybody that the rich don't pay their fair share and we have to gouge them, when in fact the rich pay virtually all of the income tax in the United States. It just goes on and on and on. There's a whole bunch of things we can do to get this crazy 22-year-old to not completely go over the top, because he's been fed with all of this junk, flat out lies. And the reason the left does it is it's all they have.
Yeah.
Their policies, there cannot work.
Yeah.
Period.
Steve, great point. And this word fascism, fascist or whatever, I have to be honest with you. I never even heard this word until like a couple of years ago. I'm sure I did, but now it's like all the time you hear, and it's these clusters of lunatic lefties that are in groups that are shouting with rage about no fascism or whatever. It's like, where did this word come from? And now they use it all the time. And if you get this kid who, like, two of the things apparently that he had inscribed on these shell casings had something to do with fascism, that just tells me that he's been in some echo chamber of liberal wackos that have gotten him spun up to do this.
And fascism and communism, you know, let's go. Socialism, Hitler was a socialist, and he wasn't a fascist. He wasn't some, you know, pro-government or pro-business small tax guy. He ran everything and made all the decisions that they did. It was complete socialism. They labeled, Mussolini in Italy as a fascist, but I don't even know what that means, because he was a dictator. He had complete control over everything that the country did. So this idea that someone that wants to sit and debate ideas and people that can't substantiate their opinions are...
Oh, sorry, Steve-O. Something happened there, bud. We got you, though. And thanks. Love when Steve calls. Always add something good to the show. Thank you for that. Let's go back to the phone lines. Henry is next up, and he wants to talk about the capital punishment issue. Henry, what do you think?
Well, I'm just really glad that in Utah they have a law that says that if you get the death penalty, there is the option for the firing squad. But personally, this guy doesn't deserve the firing squad. You know what they got to do to him? Strip him down naked, drag him on the ground by a rope through a field full of poison ivy, balls out, everything. Get him. Just rip his head off.
All right, Henry, sounds like you're not willing to spare any sort of torture on the way to meet the maker. So I appreciate you giving a call on the program today. Let's go to Gerard on line four. Gerard, welcome to the program.
Hey there, Steve. It's me again. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Okay, right on. I just want to get your thoughts on something real quick. A lot of people on the right automatically assume that this shooter was some sort of transgender person without knowing the motive or the identity of who the shooter was. I'm just curious what your thoughts are, just like automatically ascribing an identity to someone we had no idea about until 8 hours ago.
Yeah. Yeah. I've tried to be careful about that because, look, I'm guilty too of this. You get mad, you get upset, and you jump to conclusions, and things seem a certain way and they don't. That thing with the Covington kid and the Native American elder in DC was probably my wake up call on that. Because when I saw the first video that came out, I'm like, who is this butthole kid taunting this Native American? Like, what a bad look that is. And then, of course, we find out later that was only part of the video. And in reality, it was very different. The kid just stood there and the Native American elder came up to him and was really getting in his face. But it led so many people to say, what is going on? So I try to preach this.
Now we know this shooter, he looks like someone I would have graduated high school.
Oh, 100%. We can all say that same thing. You know? Yeah. So to answer your question, we don't know that. I said earlier in the show today, I don't know if you heard this, that the kid doesn't look like he's trans at all. He looks obviously young, 22, a white kid. We don't know his deal. What we know, and again, I was challenged by somebody not to editorialize but to report the facts, and so I've been trying to do that best I can. The fired gun casing had an inscription that, according to USA Today, refers to animated videos and furries, like the alternative, you know, I want to be an animal kind of a thing. So this is USA Today. I'm just telling you what USA Today is reporting. So I'm sticking to facts. The unspent casings talked about a rallying cry for anti-fascists. That's the Bella Chow. Hey, fascists, catch this, or catch, with an Antifa symbol on it. And the other one said, if you read this, you're gay. So all I have said is, that is an interesting collection of artifacts right there and symbols, but we don't know. And I would tell you, Gerard, I don't think the kid's trans at all. He looks like a red-blooded American male.
No,
he might be a little messed up in the head. So I would agree with you that we've got to be honest. And if we always jump to conclusions, oh, that's just another tranny, and he's and not, well, then it makes us look foolish.
A lot of people on the right were doing that.
Well, but a lot of us weren't, you know. I mean, you can find a lot of people.
The morning guy, they were doing that just today.
Well, I can't speak for them.
We got another transgender person, and I think that's unfortunate.
Then I don't want to speak for them because I didn't listen to it. So I would just tell you to call them because I think your complaint is valid, Gerard. And I think we do need to be careful about these things. We all do it. We all get a little carried away sometimes, but I'm just telling you, there's a lot there. You can find some on the right that are going to do any stupid thing, but there's a lot of people on the right who aren't and that are trying to be cerebral about this. And I've been reading some of their emails and texts and hearing them on the phone. And if you listen to their words, these aren't people who are out with pitchforks and torches right now trying to get people. So I get it. There's too much of that, but there's too much of everything on both sides.
Yeah, I hope that people don't take more. You know, they keep the temperature down. I'm really worried that this is going to inspire more violence this weekend.
Yeah, and I would just say to that, Gerard, that I hope you also feel the same way about a governor of Minnesota who's been saying the things that he has said, too, about, you know, kind of joking about, yeah, I was doom scrolling. I heard the president might be dead and joking about that.
Tim Walz, trust me. I'm an independent. I'm politically homeless.
Well, okay, sounds good. When you take issue with those of us on the right, it makes us sort of assume that you're at least tolerant of people on the left. So I'm with you on all that, but I think we need to apply that same criteria to both sides.
Yeah, there's lots of wacky people.
Yes, sir, there are. Thank you, Gerard, for calling. Appreciate you checking in today. All right, that opens up a phone line for you. Let's go to Brett in South Fargo. Brett, good afternoon. Hello, Brett.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Brad, not Brett.
Brad. Sorry, Brad. Go ahead, sir. What's on your mind?
Brad. Well, hey, I just thank God there's a death penalty in Utah. I think that's so great. And I think, you know, the justice needs to be quick, maybe within 30 days. And, you know, that guy just all of a sudden he's face to face with Jesus, and we move on, you know, because the more this moves on, the more this goes and goes and goes, and you got women writing the guy, want to marry him or whatever else, that's just garbage. So it needs to be done quickly, get it out of the way, and we move on with life.
Yeah, Brad, so I'm thinking about what you said, and my spirit's right there with you. The only thing I would add to that is, if he admits that he did it, yes. I mean, then we know. We've got guilt and we can move on with punishment. But if this does go to trial, I don't want to rush a trial. I mean, I'm not saying we want to take 10 years to do it. But if we say he's got to be dead in 30 days, I know that's not what you're saying. I'm just saying let's make sure that the trial happens and that we don't rush to judgment without that happening. But as soon as...
The reason I say that is... This FBI is a different FBI we have right now.
This was like
an open and shut case. You know, Patel had all the evidence. You know, the dad was involved. The minister was involved. His friends were involved. And, we got to go to trial. That's our system.
Yeah.
However, it's an open and shut death penalty case. It's legal in Utah. That's what the state has. It's totally legal. Let's move on because the more... this guy has a voice to other people, the worse this is going to get.
Well, and as soon as we can provide some deterrence to the next idiot who wants to do this, the better, too. So you're right. I don't want him sitting on death row for 8.5 years. Brad, completely with you. Thanks for giving a call today. Appreciate you joining us. All right, we got a hustle here because we got Jim and Linda who still want to talk, and I see the phone lines ringing again. Linda has been waiting the longest. Linda in South Dakota, good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
Doing just fine. I really enjoy your show.
and I'm 100% behind the capital punishment. I think it's time people pay the price for their actions, and always an excuse of they're young or they're this or that. The other thing that I wanted to say real quick is on trying to deter it, Congress, I think, is very disgusting. I mean, as an example, the other day, a moment of silence and the uproar over just asking for that was just, to me, totally disgusting. And I'd like to see the people in Congress start having to be a little bit more accountable for whatever they say. They can say whether something is true or not, and it just continues to be put out there. And then there's a certain group of people that believe it because somebody with a title said it.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you, Linda. I think the part that triggered the liberals in Congress was someone said, let's have a moment to pray. And I think that if I heard the story right, there was some kind of moment of silence and maybe even people were okay with that. But as soon as someone said, you know, let's pray, that's when people got angry. And this is what happens. If you are not walking with the Lord, then that to you is offensive. And I guess it makes sense because if your heart's not with God, then you will find that offensive and you will lash out against it. That's just the, I'm not saying any one person is the devil incarnate, but that's just the good versus evil battle that you get. People that don't have that soft spot in their heart for God or religion, they lash out and they turn into people who throw a temper tantrum just like we saw. Linda, thank you so much, my dear, for giving a call. You have a great weekend, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Jim's next up. Jim in Fargo. Good afternoon, Jim.
Yeah, I think a guy who killed that Ukrainian should share the same cell with this guy.
Mm.
Just put him in there for maybe 15, 20 minutes, see what happens.
See what happens. You know.
Yeah, just let him alone. Maybe they could share some thoughts, you know.
Well, I thought you were going to say we could have a two-for-one special on firing squads, and I'd be fine with that, too.
Maybe that will happen.
Yeah, and look.
It'll be a gruesome one.
Well, it will. But you know what? That's the point. That's why we have it. And I don't mean to be trivial about life, and I don't mean to joke around about taking someone's life, but this is justice. For you take someone's life the way we know, and if it turns out again, we got to let the process play out with this guy now that was arrested. But if he admits it or found guilty of it, and I think from what it sounds like, the trial could be pretty quick and speedy, a pretty open and shut case. If that's
I'm afraid that they'll find a way to out themselves in jail. Oh, in jail. And that'd be
yeah,
the worst
place. I hope not. I hope not. Yeah. I mean, it's possible. But if we know about the one guy on the subway, and it looks like we know about this guy in Utah, and there has to be justice for that. You cannot have people that are allowed to live after you take a life. And I go back to the good book because it's in the Bible about capital punishment and eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Jim, thanks a lot for giving a call. I appreciate it. All right, that's going to do for today. I know the phone's still ringing. I'm sorry, my friends that are trying to give a call in. We want to get to Mark Levin. If this was a local story where we felt like Mark Levin's program wouldn't add anything to it, we could continue visiting here and join the Mark Levin Show in progress. But I think Mark's voice is one that can be really helpful and always a lot to offer. So we're going to let Mark Levin carry the conversation from here. I'll be back at 4 o'clock Monday, and we'll continue this conversation and see what we learn over the weekend. I appreciate you all more than ever, especially after a week like this. Have a great night, great weekend, my friends, and keep on flying that flag.